It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. So this morning, I entitled my sermon, What is Our Church? Before I go into the sermon, I just forgot to make one quick announcement. I know that you've seen the Pathfinders up front, leaders, and they have the registration tomorrow. But also tomorrow is the Adventurers registration. So if you have adventure kids, families, please remember from 10 to 12 p.m. What is our church? We've been talking about three Sabbaths in a row. I talked when I preached on Matthew chapter 16. We talked about how to build a church, how to grow a church, and how to kill a church. And we talked about Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus told us to build the church on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And we can build up the church and grow the church by using the keys that he gave us to open the kingdom of heaven to other people. And then last time I talked about that he did not command us to be silent. Remember, silence is not an option for us. We cannot remain silent. If we do remain silent as a church, we do not preach the gospel to others. That's how we can kill the church. And today I want to conclude this with the fourth sermon, and I entitle it, What is Our Church? There is a story about the guy who came to church with his family, and he was in the church service, and as they were driving home, he started complaining about everything that happened in the church. He said the music was too loud, the sermon was too long, the announcements were unclear, the building was too hot, the people were unfriendly, and so on and so forth. You hear people doing that after church service. And he went on and on and on, complaining about virtually about everything that happened that day in the church. At one point, his son, his observant son, said, Dad, you've got to admit, it wasn't a bad show for just $1. So what is our church? Is just a show that cost us a dollar or five or maybe less each week? Is just a show that we enjoy each week when we come here. And if it's not a good show, then we complain about it. I believe that our church is more than just a good show each and every week. A while ago, a pastor named Patrick Smith preached a sermon in which he asked if the church was a clubhouse or a lighthouse. It would seem that many people want the church just to be a friendly place where people can gather together, and it's nothing wrong about that. Many of these same people get angry when the church shines the light of truth on something, and they declare that the church should just be open and inviting. They object when the church is challenging and points to the demands of the gospel. And many people just want to be in a clubhouse. But the church is a lighthouse. It's not a clubhouse. It's not just to come and feel good. And as soon as somebody points out something, especially a lifestyle issue, matter in your life, and points to the Bible, we get all upset and leave. Because we think that we come here in a club. The church is most certainly meant to be a lighthouse. We are here to warn of the danger, giving light to those who are in darkness. Amen? That's what the church is all about. But today, I would like to present you with a different choice. A while back when I was at Andrews, we had a guest speaker for our week of spiritual emphasis, and from New York, I don't forget his name, but he presented this idea and I really liked it, so I'll present it to you today as well. The question is, and the choice that I want to give you is the church a cruise ship or a battleship? Is the church a cruise ship or a battleship? And we're going to talk about those two today. That's why I was talking to the kids about the ship, all right? Because many people today think of church more like a cruise ship. One that exists for my pleasure and my entertainment. People who think of the church as a cruise ship ask the same question that many people ask on a luxury cruise liner. They ask, do I like the music that is being played in the ballroom? Do I like the captain and his crew? Is the service good? Am I well fed? Are my needs promptly met? Is the cruise pleasant? Am I comfortable? Will I cruise with them again? Those are the questions that people ask in a cruise ship style church. The cruise ship church is fun and it's easy. People just pay the fee and take a ride. It only makes fun stops and doesn't require anything except to pay and show up. Everybody who rides the cruise ship church expects to be served and not to serve. Everybody who rides the cruise ship church wants to dock quickly when the waters get rough. I've seen a lot of members that have a cruise ship mentality, that come here to just be entertained. They just want to come and enjoy and go home, and that's it. And as soon as the waters get rough a little bit, what happens? They're gone. That's the cruise ship mentality. And a lot of our members, unfortunately, have that mentality. It is a true fact that our church should work very hard to make sure that people are effectively served and helped to find God. It is true. We need to feed our members and we need to nurture our members. Good sermons, excellent music, worship services, beautiful church and dedicated pastor and members. That's not a bad thing. God deserves the very best of our worship and so do His people. Amen? Absolutely. However, it also follows that the world does not exist only to pleasure us. No church we attend will ever be exactly the way we want it. I know a lot of people that church hop and want to find the best church. They come to a new place, especially people that move into town sometimes. They come and say, we're going to every church, see which one is the best fit for us. And I know some of those people still hopping around years after. Because you'll never find a perfect church, except this one. I hope it would be more amens than that, but that's all right. Many people, no church is perfect, no pastor preaches perfectly every Sabbath, except in this church, all right? The church does not always sing your favorite songs. If you have a cruise ship mentality, you'll just be going around trying to find a perfect church, and you'll never find it. You'll never find that church. Some people stay away from church and call it boring or say they aren't being fed. But in the end, it's not about you. It's about God. Amen? It's not about you. Oh, that place is boring. They have bad music. They have this and that. I'm not being fed. I don't have any friends, and the people I'm friendly. We find all these excuses all the time. But in the end, it's not about us. It's about God. We go to church to worship God because God is worthy. Because God deserves our praise and because He has commanded us to be here. Church service and all that we do in our church is all about God. I would like to suggest to you today that a better image for the church is a battleship and not a cruise ship. These are the churches. These are the places that ask the questions. People on a battleship ask the question, is the ship on a clear and noble mission? Is the ship able to endure storms at sea? Does the crew have proper training and experience? Are they at their posts? Do they take the battle seriously? These are the questions that we ask in a battleship type church. The most important one is, do we really have a mission? The battleships exist for what? For mission. They're sent into action wherever they're needed, wherever they're needed. It's the mission that operates and dictates everything about the battleship. Some people point more specifically to the church as being an aircraft carrier, which is prepared for battle. They say it goes to where the needs are greatest. The aircraft carrier is a launching station for those who are ready for flight and now wanting to take on the battle face to face. So this is the preparation ground on the aircraft carrier, and they go where the need is, and the people are ready to fly out and take the battle face to face. This is the type of the church that we want here at Central, amen? This is the type of the church we want here. Those people who serve on the aircraft carrier are willing to make sacrifices. Those who are on a cruise ship, they don't want to make any sacrifices. They're there only for their enjoyment and for fun. You know, some people dislike any military imagery in reference to the church. But spiritual battle is simply a fact in the Bible. Amen? We are fighting a spiritual battle. We are besieged by the devil, by the world, by the flesh. We are called to engage in the battle with Satan and evil. Amen? We have to engage, and we are called by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God to obtain victory against Satan. This is why Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, 11 to 12, and I want you to open your Bibles there, and you all know this verse very well, but this is the reality of Christian life. A lot of us just want to be on a cruise ship and enjoy it, but the Christian life is all about the battle, is all about the fight. Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 12, and Apostle Paul says, put on what? The whole armor of God. Why do you put an armor on? Because you want to be ready to fight. It's because you want to go in a battle. Not, you don't put an armor to go on a cruise ship, right? You put fun shorts and a t-shirt on. You put armor on when you're in a battleship. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So is our Christian life a cruise or is a battle? It's a battle. It's an everyday battle. Unfortunately, some people misunderstand that and they want to just cruise along. So which image better describes our church here? I want to bring it closer today. Which image describes our church here at Calgary Central better? A cruise ship? A hassle-free, entertaining, self-indulgent, relatively pointless tour with no objective beyond your own pleasure? And relationships in this type of church exist for mutual satisfaction, and they tend to be very shallow. Or is our church a battleship which is mission-oriented, is focused, is self-sacrificing journey to achieve a victory for what is good, right, and true? And in this type of church, relationships exist for the sake of the mission. And they tend to be deep and forged in the heat of the battle. So what is our church here? Is it a cruise ship or is it a battleship? I see some people saying no to a cruise ship. And I like to see that, but most of you don't make any signs, nothing. Because you're not sure what's going on. I wanted to very seriously think about this after the service, after the sermon. I'm not asking you to answer right now, what is our church? But as you go home, think very seriously, what is our mission here? What are we here for? Is our church just a cruise ship? Or is a battleship? Our natural inclination is to choose the cruise ship over battleship, right? Because it's fun. It doesn't require much. So as humans, we want to choose the cruise ship over the battleship. Even when we pay lip service, only even when we say with our mouth that we want to be on a battleship, but our heart is with the cruise ship. We always say, Lord, we want to be missionaries. We want to go out, and we pay lip service to that. That's it. But deep down inside, we still want to go on a cruise ship. We don't want to be in the battle. And most of the times, when we say we want to be in the battle and our church is a battleship, our actions and our words show something else. The cruise ship, as I said, is all about feeling good. It's my preferences, what I want, what makes me feel good. The battleship is all about deferring my preferences to win the lost. So what type of church we have here? Only those people who are willing to make a radical choice to change their mentality from a cruise ship mentality to a battleship mentality, those people will win the battle against the evil forces. Only those who are willing to believe Jesus when he says in Matthew 16, and I want you to open with me Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 to 26. Jesus says something here very radical. Only those people that are want to be radical disciples of Jesus Christ and follow him every step of the way and obey his words will be able to obtain the victory. Matthew 16, verses 25 to 26. Jesus says here, for whoever desires to save his life will what? Will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, or in other words, for my mission, will find it. For what profit is it to a man or a woman if he gains the whole world and loses his own life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? And my question to you this morning is a very radical choice that you need to make this morning. Are you willing to abandon the cruise ship for the battleship? If you are on the cruise ship, are you willing to abandon the cruise ship for the battleship? Let me tell you a true story of a person that literally abandoned the cruise ship life for the battleship. When the baseball legend Bob Feller passed away, he was described as one of the greatest pitchers in the history of baseball. But the interesting thing about this is that not too many people heard about Bob Feller. Not too many people know this guy. If he was the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball, why don't people know about him? He pitched from 1936 to 1949. 1936, he pitched his first game at 17 years old, and he was amazing. He was in high school when he set all the records in strikeouts and wins and so on and so forth. He was an amazing pitcher. And Bob Feller quickly became a national sensation. People couldn't get enough of this kid, and he even led the American League in strikeouts and every single game that he had, he won from 1939 to 1947. He became the most famous baseball player of his day, even appearing on the cover of Times magazine at that time. He was so young and so good at what he was doing. Now the question is, why is Bob Feller not a household name in baseball? Why people don't know about him? It's very simple. Because Bob Feller didn't pitch every year from 1939 to 1947. Because on December 7th, 1941, you guys remember this day, the Pearl Harbor happened. The Japanese bombed the Pearl Harbor. The next day, Bob Feller joined the military. And for the next 44 months, Bob Feller didn't pitch in any games. He wasn't a pitcher in any games because he was in the military. He served as a gunner on the battleship USS Alabama. He saw extensive action in the North Atlantic and in South Pacific. He was gone from baseball for nearly 4 years. When he finally returned in 1946, in his first year back, he set the major league record for most strikeouts in one season. So what place in baseball history would Feller hold if not for those four lost years in the war, Second World War? A lot of people have asked him that question. This is what he says about that. He says, a lot of folks say that had I not missed those four seasons to World War II during what was probably my physical prime, I might have had 370 or even 400 wins. In other words, he might have gone down as the greatest pitcher of all time. But I have no regrets, he says. I did what any person could and should do, serve his country in its time of need. I knew then, and I know today, that winning the World War II was the most important thing to happen in the history of the world in the last 100 years. I'm just glad I was a part of it. The most important thing about the life of Bob Feller is the fact that because of his father was terminally ill, he was exempt from military service. He chose to serve. He chose to be in the battle. He didn't have to go in the battle. He was exempt from military service. He literally chose the battleship. Bob Feller had a cruise ship life in front of him. He had money, he had fame, everything he wanted. And he freely gave it up and he chose the battleship. Why? Because in his words, winning World War II was the most important thing. As a Christian, what is the most important thing for you? What is the most important thing for you? I know that all of us will take the Bible and open it to Luke 19:10 and said, this is our mission. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And it's good when we say it, but do our actions and our life prove what we are saying? Bob Feller recognized that the reward of prevailing in the World War II was far greater than any reward that he could find in baseball. This is why someone would choose a battleship over a cruise ship, because they understand what's at stake. And they want their life to count for the most important thing. So let me ask you a question. What about us as Christians? What is at stake in this battle between good and evil? What's at stake? It's your life, eternal life, and the eternal destiny of other people. That's what's at stake. What do our lives proclaim as the most important thing? Are we making life choices that demonstrate how much we value God in our lives? Are we living in ways that bring glory and honor to Him? And as I said in the beginning, unfortunately, far too many Christians today make the cruise ship the goal of their lives, as if the ultimate dream in this world would be to just dedicate our lives to leisure and pleasure and entertainment and relaxation. As if what I want my life to proclaim is that my comfort is the most important thing in the whole world. And I know I'm talking to some today. Once again, a Christian life is not a cruise ship. This church is not a cruise ship. Amen? This church is not a cruise ship. It is a battleship with a mission. And each of us has a position to fill. Each of us has a job to do on this battleship. On the cruise ship, only a few people work for the pleasure of many. There is a few people that are paid to do everything to serve, so everybody else being entertained and enjoy their time. On a battleship, everyone is contributing. On a battleship, you can't take time off. Even the cook is very important on a battleship. Because if he doesn't make the meal, they are not going to be happy. Every person on a battleship contributes to the benefit of that battleship in order to fight the battle. So what is our church today? So far I see that our church is a cruise ship where only a few people contribute. I'll be very honest with you. If we ask someone to volunteer and come for something, the same people always come. Do you know that on the list we have almost 1,100 people, members? We have people that attend once in a while, most of the time, close to 700-800 that we know of. 800 people. And every time we ask to do something, it's the same people, the same faces I see all the time. Those people have spread very thin. And we don't want them to just give up as well on what they're doing. They're getting tired of doing everything. We have so many people, but when it comes to the battle, doing ministry, or even to volunteer for something in the church, everybody wants to just cruise and to be entertained. Well, I can come maybe just to be there, not to do anything. If you're feeling guilty today, I guess it's good. It's time for us to change the cruise ship mentality. If we don't change this mentality, we'll just pay lip service to God and say, God, we want to be a mission-oriented church. We want to do ministries. But when we leave from here, we're cruising the whole week. We're not in the battle at all. Instead of asking ourselves, do I like this? Does it make me feel comfortable? We must ask the question, will this further our mission and help people who are far from God come closer to Him? Amen? And that's all we need to ask. Well, I don't like this, I don't like that. It's not about us. It's about the mission. And we have to remember that. Do I like this? Don't I like this? No. Will it further the mission of the kingdom of God? That's all we need to be worrying about. The biggest difference between a cruise ship and a battleship is that the cruise ship is all about relationships and no mission at all. But the battleship combines the relationships with the mission, where the mission calls the shots. Relationships are important, but there are relationships forged on a battleship that you can't break. Those relationships forged on a cruise ship, you're there for a week, you meet people, and then you're gone. You never see them again. That's what happens with relationships on a cruise ship. Those forged on a battleship, they're lifetime relationships. It's all about relationships plus mission, but the mission calls the shots. So which kind of church do you want? What kind of church do you pray for? I would like us to make a commitment today that our church here at Calgary Central is not going to be a cruise ship designed to pamper and entertain us, but a battleship from which we would serve Jesus Christ with the mission to advance His kingdom. Amen? Amen. That's my desire. Let me conclude. Revelation chapter 12 presents the devil as being enraged with the woman, which is the church. He goes to make war against the church, and the devil and his angels are all about the battle. They are not relaxing on a cruise ship. The devil and his angels are all about the battle. And they're training and exercising because they want to destroy the church. Unfortunately, the church is not ready to fight back. Why? Because the church has a cruise ship mentality. Satan is very happy to see churches that have cruise ship mentality. Why? Because it's so much easier to destroy a cruise ship than a battleship. Imagine this, a cruise ship going against a battleship in a battle. Who'll win the battle? A battleship any day. The cruise ship doesn't stand a chance. And that's what Satan is happy about. He's happy to see churches having a cruise ship mentality because it's like this easy to destroy them. Unfortunately, this is what it takes place in many of our churches today. The devil is all armed and ready to battle, but we just want to relax and entertain on a cruise ship. Jesus promised that the church would be victorious against Satan, but only the church that is like a battleship will be able to gain victory. In order for us to be victorious, we must change our cruise ship mentality, and we need to get up of our lounge chairs and embrace some responsibility on this ship. I didn't hear any amens. We must get out of our lounge chairs and embrace some responsibility. So I'd like to leave you with this question, and I'm going to make an appeal. I don't often make appeals, but I'll make one today. I, as the pastor of this church, I make a commitment to have this church as a battleship and not a cruise ship. I, as the pastor of this church, want every member to be dedicated and contributing to the life of this church and to the battle that we must fight. Amen? Amen? Now I want you to make a commitment to join me on the battleship. I want this church to be a battleship. Will you join me on that battleship? Will you join me? If you want to join me on that mission, on that battleship, I want you all to stand and we'll pray together so God gives us the strength and the courage to fight and be on that battleship. I think this is one of the most important aspects of church life. When we all get together as a crew, as a team, and we contribute in order to win the battle. And because you're standing today, I want this to be a true commitment, not just one of those lip services and somebody else will see you doing it. If you don't intend to do it, please don't stand. I want you to really commit your life to the life of a battleship, life of sacrifice, life of mission towards God's kingdom. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you see our church standing, every member standing, Lord, and I'm standing with them. I'm not the captain on this battleship. It is Jesus Christ who is the captain. I'm just a part of this crew, Central Church here, part of the team that I'm contributing towards the battle, towards the preparation for the battle, towards winning the victory over evil, Lord. There are so many people around us that are dying in sin and are being lost. And we as a church, because we have this cruise ship mentality, we don't even want to go out. We just want to be entertained, Lord. And help us, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to change that mentality, Lord. Help us to be on a battleship, to always be ready to fight. Help us to contribute to any aspect of the church, no matter how small that might be. Help us to make a contribution towards the battle. Because only when everybody makes a contribution, that's when we are going to win the battle. Satan is laughing at our churches today because we're just trying to cruise along, Lord. Lord, today we're committing to you as Calgary Central Church. We're committing to be a battleship in this area of the city of Calgary that will make the light of the gospel shine to everyone, Lord. Help us, keep us accountable for the decision that we made today, Lord. And may we bring honor and glory to you, for what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.